Five federal crossbench MPs in the lower house have written a joint letter calling on major media companies to stop publishing advertisements from Clive Palmer and other groups that spread harmful misinformation about the COVID pandemic. Member for Mayo, Rebecca Sharkey from Centre Alliance, is one of them. She joins me now to discuss this and other news. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, the letter, I think, has gone quite far and wide, and certainly was picked up as the story from Media Watch on Monday night. And, you know, the whole concept of the letter came from a conversation I was having with former member for Indi, Cathy McGowan, the previous Wednesday morning. And she was reading the paper while she was talking to me, and she was really frustrated seeing, you know, on the front page, Clive Palmer ad saying, I think, you know, freedom, 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 or lockdowns don't work, and like that that he's put on there. She said, what are we going to do about this? And I said, I actually think I might talk to my fellow crossbenchers and let's see if we can put a letter together. And we did. That letter was published in a number of the Nine papers, which is the Spin Review, The Age, the Sydney Morning Herald, and we also wrote to the Murdoch media, because it's regularly on the front page of The Australian. And while their response, I think, was a little cute, they said, well, you know, we don't pick the ones that are against health advice. I think many people's letterboxes and post office boxes have been flooded with other paraphernalia from Clive Palmer that's saying that vaccines don't work, that lockdowns don't work, and we just need to, I think, make sure that the message from the health experts and not wannabe politicians is actually, you know, the accurate message that gets out there to the community, because this misinformation is harmful. So we figure, well, you know, many of the editorials written inside the paper are condemning that behaviour and also supporting what the government's doing. But then they're happy to take the advertising dollar for the front page. So we just thought we'd call them out.
Yeah. Have you had any response from Channel 9? It sounds like they published it, but have you had any response from them or News Corp?
Well, look, I think the proof will be in the pudding. We'll see how the front pages go over the next couple of weeks. I understand, though, that there's been quite a lot of concern within the newspapers of the, you know, the advertising arm and the journalistic arm. You know, just there's a bit of conflict there, is what, to my understanding, between those two about how they approach this.
Right.
I understand that newspapers have suffered, you know, significant financial loss, particularly during COVID with loss of advertising revenue. But I believe that they should be, you know, as national newspapers, that they should be held to a higher level, and I would urge them not to accept that advertising dollar.
Rebecca Sharkey's with us. She's the member for Mayo. The situation in Afghanistan is just awful. It's horrific, and many of us fear for the safety of the population over there. I know some of your constituents do as well. And there are hopes that about 600 people can be rescued in the coming days, Australians and Afghanis. Do you think the government's doing enough to help those people out?
Well, I'm aware that at least 1,400 Afghan workers and their families over the years have been brought to Australia. I think the situation is devastating. I wrote to Maurice Payne, Minister for Foreign Affairs, about the resettlement visas for Afghan employees and how many people were frustrated and concerned about how slow they were. And that was back, you know, about 5-6 weeks ago that I wrote to her. And, you know, we just, as a nation, need to live up to the promises we made. And we made promises back in 2012. That anyone who had helped Australia, you know, provided support to us, because our interpreters, no matter what conflict we are in around the world, the interpreters are critical, absolutely critical to the safety of our soldiers when they're on that mission. And we utilised in two, as far as I understand, two major operations, Operation Slipper between 2001 and 2014, and Operation High Road from 2015. So there would be, I'm sure, many, many that we're leaving behind. And I just, you know, it's so frustrating. So many people were raging this months ago. They saw this coming. I understand COVID makes it really difficult, but to know that we are potentially leaving behind hundreds of former employees, people who are subcontractors, and their families, and putting them at significant risk, you know, increasing that risk, amplifying that risk because they helped us, is so deeply concerning.
We'll keep an eye on this one. Federal Member for Mayo, Rebecca Sharkey's with us. Now, okay, something that you've raised in Parliament recently, Rebecca, is the Billion Trees for Jobs and Growth plan from 2018. You say at the current rate, it's going to take the federal government 350 years to reach its goal. What is going on?
Well, that's what the calculations are. So back in 2018, the government announced a plan, a Billion Trees for Jobs and Growth plan. We know around 70,000 people are directly employed in forestry, and you know it generates huge economic activity, around $23 billion a year. So far, out of that plan, we've only seen 2,800 hectares. Now, over the 10 years from 2018 through to 2028, there should have been 400,000 hectares planted, so in that decade. So I said to the government, well, what's happening with this? And the answer is not much. David Littleproud, I did ask him, he is the Minister for Agriculture. It actually does sit under one of his assistant ministers, Jonathan Dunningham, who's a senator from Tasmania. David Littleproud says, look, you know, black summer events have made it very difficult. We know that that's affected only around 10% of softwood plantations. And if anything, you know, that was now 18 months ago, that should have accelerated this plan rather than stopped it in its tracks. So, if we're going to reach a billion trees, at our current rate, this can take us 350 years. So I think it's critical that we, you know, really put the fertiliser on this and get this happening.
Mm-hmm. It sounded as though the reason was the bushfires, the black summer fires. The reason that it's been so slow going was the black summer bushfires.
Yes. Well, that's perhaps not what industry is saying. And as I said, you know, around 10% of the plantations were affected by fire in that summer of 2019. But, you know, we are some time on from there, and that's only 10%. So we really need to be pushing this project along because there's a global shortage at the moment. We know there's going to be only increasing demand. So many of the builds across South Australia, and particularly across Mount Barker and Nairn and Strath and Victor Harbour, where there's a lot of building work is going on, is being held up by the fact that you just can't get timber trusses. And the thing with plantations is it's not like many other things that we plant. You can't harvest them the following year. You know, they do. There's a lead-in time, and so that's why I'm going to do everything in my power to keep this one on you know, in the media, in the parliament, on the government's agenda, because I haven't heard the Labor opposition Minister for Agriculture actually mention this in the last 3 years since it was announced. So that's why I thought, I know, we're going to ask a question on this. This is important. We've got to find out exactly where this is up to, and I was pretty surprised by the answer.
We're going to have to leave it there. Rebecca Sharkey, thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, and good to be back in South Australia in ISO, but still working.